"Thank God it's Friday" is an expression which has become a fairly common part of everyday communication. So common, in fact, that it is often referred to by virtue of the simple letters that begin each of the words, TGIF, which has become so common and familiar that one restaurant chain even decided to use that as part of their identifying name. And why is it that people feel such a fondness for Friday? Surely because it typically means a certain amount of respite from one's regimen, from the rigors of one's occupation or work. But that expression, as it now stands, applies only to a temporary rest from a physical type of work that can be used only on one day of the week. So how about if we make an alteration by which we are enabled to use that expression to refer to a spiritual type of rest rather than just physical, which is eternal rather than just temporary, and which can be used any day of the week. We're given a basis to do so in the form of some words found in John's Gospel, the 19th chapter, where we read, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It was the preparation day." On the basis of this short section from John, Scripture enables us to say TGFF, thank God for Friday. In saying thank God for Friday, reference is being made, of course, to a very specific Friday, the one that John alludes to. He speaks of it being the preparation day. And that means it was a Friday because the event for which preparations were being made was the Sabbath, Saturday. And John singles out this preparation day, this Friday, as being far more important than all others. For starters, this was one of the Fridays that preceded, or was a part of Passover week, preceding the Sabbath of Passover, the most important celebration in Old Testament times. But there were many Fridays preceding many Passovers throughout Old Testament times. What made this particular one so unique? The fact that on all other Sabbaths, or on all other Passover celebrations, I should say, a common lamb was used. A regular animal from the farm was slaughtered in symbolic atonement for sin. But on the Friday of our text, the Friday of that particular Passover event, the Lamb of God, the uncommon Lamb, the Lord Jesus, was slaughtered in actual payment for our sin. Yes, it was decreed by the Father and agreed to by the Son that Jesus, the Son of God, would pay the price for our forgiveness to remove our guilt. It was the divine design to have Jesus take on the work of our redemption, and it's in connection with that work that Jesus announced so boldly and powerfully with one Greek word, tetelestai, which is translated in English with three words, "It is finished." Words spoken to our great benefit. Imagine the pressure we would be under if Jesus had not finished that work of redemption, if he had only begun that work. In that case, we would be obligated to view earthly life as the fleeting period of time in which we would have to do all that we could possibly do enough to impress God to the point that he would welcome us into eternal life. When would a person even sleep? Who could afford giving up hours of activity when we have so many sins? The pressure would be unrelenting to try to impress God in some way that he would be willing to let us in. Perhaps the type of pressure that is felt, it appears, by certain religious groups still around in our day. One might think of Muslim youth who sometimes engage in suicide missions, apparently believing that by doing so they will so impress God by their patriotism that he will instantly whisk them into paradise. The thought of having to earn eternal life on our own is a terrible one and a sad delusion. If Jesus had not finished the work of redemption, we would find on Judgment Day a fierce and furious God, even if we would spend our entire lives doing nothing more than trying our best to do things that would somehow win us God's favor. We're told all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. our sin-stained actions can't begin to pay for the state, get us out of the state of condemnation. Our sin-stained blood can't atone for sin. But the doing and dying of the Son of God could, and the doing and dying of the Son of God did. The course of our eternal lives hung on the outcome of the events on that single Friday. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," that was a shout of triumph for us. It was a declaration of freedom. By saying, "It is finished," Jesus declared that absolutely nothing else is needed for our redemption to be a reality. The price demanded by God for our deliverance was paid in full. The book of Revelation explains that by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Once was enough. And since the blood of Jesus releases us from the guilt of our sin, the Friday on which that blood was shed is the Friday on which complete rest for our souls became available to every human being. Now that that special Friday, that Good Friday, has come, it is possible for our souls to be at rest with respect to salvation. For the work of salvation is an accomplished fact. And that's why Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Because of the work that Jesus accomplished on that Friday, our souls now have been given a weekend, so to speak, a time when they are able to enjoy the liberty, the freedom, the fulfillment that Christ secured for us on the cross, and a rest that lasts more than just a day or two. That passage from Hebrews again says, "He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." Our Heavenly Father will never say to us in the future, "Well, time's up, end of the rest. That's all that Christ was able to secure for you." Rather, He says things to the effect of, "Be at peace, be at rest. Let not your heart be troubled, for my Son has completed the work of salvation in every way." With what, then, is the Christian spirit to be engaged, if not with the useless task of trying to win our way into heaven through our own attempts at righteousness? With the activities of praise and thanksgiving. Yes, thank God for Friday, for the events of Good Friday. Thank the Lord, for He is good. And how often is such thanksgiving appropriate? Not only on the sixth day of the week, but every day of our lives. For the Lord makes perfect rest available on every day. So in light of this text, what's a suitable expression for today? TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Sure, it's proper to thank Him for whatever rest we might experience in the course of a weekend. But on a much higher plane is TGFF. Thank God for Friday, the events of Good Friday, the day on which redemption was done when full atonement by Christ was won. A hymn which speaks of this atonement is hymn 377, stanzas 1, 4 through 6. Stanzas 1 and 4 through 6 of 377.
Salvation unto us has come by God's free grace and favor. Good works cannot avert our doom. They help and save us never. Faith looks to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one from sin our flesh could not abstain, sin held its sway unceasing. The task was useless and in vain, our guilt was e'er increasing. None can remove sin's poison dart, or purify our guileful heart. So deep in corruption. Christ came.